We'll be in the book of Galatians again, Galatians 5, if you'd like to tap there on your device or turn there. If you forgot a device or a paper Bible, you can grab a pew Bible and turn to page 1004, and you'll be in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians is all about the freedom that Jesus offers when you come to know him. And the title of this series has been Finding Freedom. And the only true freedom, the only complete freedom, the only eternal freedom that you can find is found in Jesus Christ. It is in him alone, not all the stuff we believe and take sides on and all of that, but what we find in Jesus. You don't find that kind of freedom because you're a nice person. You may be a nice person. That's not where you're going to get this freedom. You don't find the freedom because you do a lot of good things. And as I look out, I see people in this church that have done a lot of good things. And that's good in serving Jesus. The only way to find this freedom is to receive it directly from Jesus through salvation, which is a free gift, and in an ongoing relationship with him. I mentioned last week that Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 is one of the most important verses to understand and to get in our heads. It's an important verse to remember. And I see it as a summary verse of the entire book of Galatians. So for a warm-up this morning, I want to go back to that before I get to the main verses this week. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery. So Jesus has set you free if you have confessed him as Lord and accepted that free gift of salvation. You can't earn it, you can't buy it, you can't do anything for it. You only accept it. And he is the one who sets you free. You can't, by your own actions, be free. He sets you free. But in the same verse, Paul reminds us we must stand firm. He says, don't let yourself be burdened again like you were before by slavery. And when you're into sin, that's a type of slavery. After knowing Jesus and being set free, I got into this in depth last week. If you didn't hear last sermon, go back and listen to it. But we are the ones that put ourselves back into bondage. Jesus doesn't do that. And that idea is going to come up again today in a few verses. So the first 12 verses of Galatians 5 make up last week's sermon and this week's sermon. And this week is part 2. So it's Christ has set us free, part 2. A real quick reminder of the context of Paul's letter. He sent this to several churches in the region of Galatia. So it's Galatians. It's not one church. It's several churches in a region. And he had brought the gospel along with some of his ministry companions, brought the gospel, preached the gospel to them. Many people believed in that area, and they had received Jesus and the freedom that goes along with that. So these are mostly Gentiles, so non-Jews in these churches. So they didn't have a background, they didn't know, you know, they weren't Jewish people as far as culturally speaking. But they were familiar with Jewish people because there were Jewish people all over, temples and so forth. Paul had helped plant some of these churches as well. And some people had come into these churches. Paul was on to other ministry endeavors by now. People had come into their churches, and these are Jewish people that came in and said, hey, you want to be Christians? You want to be right with God? Okay, but you have to follow the Jewish law, including the men had to be circumcised. That wasn't all of it, but that was part of it. And Paul hears about this, and he's very distressed about his friends. He has a relationship with them, so he wants to bring them back to the simple gospel, what they heard in the first place. And how that when they accepted the gospel, Jesus had set them free, free from their sins, free from Old Testament law, free from customs, free from all of that stuff, of things to win God's favor. You're free from that. And it's really no different for us. I'm going to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 12, straight through, and then I'll come back and focus on a couple of them. But I want you to see the verses in context. I'm reading from the NIV today. That's the same as the Pew Bible, same as screens. If you're reading something other than NIV, it should be close. So Galatians 5, 7 through 12, Paul is writing to these churches. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. I always liked that last verse. Paul was being funny, I think, in a way. He's being sarcastic. He's using hyperbole. Like, hey guys, these people that are telling you got to be circumcised to be righteous with God, why don't they be really righteous? Go a little further and just cut it all off. That'll make them happy, or make God happy with them, right? No, Paul, we're good, thanks. No, I don't think we need to do that. But he has made his point. Cutting something on the body does not make you right with God. As some of you are familiar, probably you've seen this on a television or YouTube or something. Every Good Friday, might happen in other places, but particularly in the Philippines, there are men that allow themselves to be nailed to crosses for a time. They don't just tie them on the cross, they nail them. Jesus has already done that. We don't need to do that. I don't know what they're trying to accomplish by going through this. Jesus died on the cross once and for all, and here they are. I don't know what's going through their minds. I can't guess, but they're trying to imitate Jesus. I don't know, but it's not necessary. Jesus set you free from all of this stuff and more. I don't know if you've done the read through the Bible in a year. I know many of you probably have, or I'm just going to read through the Bible on my own. And you're reading Genesis, and man, there's many, many great stories in Genesis, of creation. You get into Joseph and all of that. It's great, great stuff. Then you get to Exodus, and that's like an adventure story. You know, there's all sorts of things happening in Exodus. And then you get into Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and you're like, oh, man. The last time I did the read through the Bible in a year, I think was last year, and I took a different attitude this time, and I didn't skim over them. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you skim over some of those laws. They're pretty rough, aren't they, reading through those? Can you imagine having to remember all of that? But I took a different attitude, and I thought, all this stuff, I don't have to remember anymore. I don't have to do anymore. And praise Jesus for what he did. He came to fulfill the law on my behalf. And so I look at those three books especially, but all those Old Testament laws with a different lens now. Now I want to go back and spend some time on two of the verses I read before. Now think about the word picture that Paul is painting for you in your mind. And the great thing about the Bible is most of these kind of things, that Jesus parables and some of the analogies people wrote in the books of the Bible, they're timeless, and this is one of them. He's talking about a foot race. We still have foot races a couple of thousand years later. So Galatians 5, verse 7 again. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? He's reminding the Galatians, you guys were on the right path. You started well. You were running well. Everything was great. You understood the grace and forgiveness of Jesus, and you knew. Last time I was there, we talked about this. You knew it didn't depend on following rules. And now some people have come into your churches and started telling you, you've got to follow rules, not just circumcision, but all the Old Testament law. What happened? How did you get from there to there? You guys weren't paying attention. You weren't remembering, Paul says. You let someone come in and cut in on you. What they are telling you, Paul's saying to the Galatians, what they are telling you has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the same for us. It may not be circumcision and Old Testament law, but what cuts in on you and keeps you from focusing on Jesus and the call he has on your life? Sometimes they're little things, sometimes they're big things, and they distract us from Jesus. And you end up paying attention to things that really aren't worth paying attention to, and they're not Jesus. Have you ever been not paying attention? You know, drifted off in thought or something, what you were supposed to be doing. You got distracted, and then something happened. Well, I'll tell on myself. I got this staple gun, I don't know, late summer or fall or something. And I had tested it out, but I really didn't use it. And this staple gun goes like this. The handle goes down like that, and you got a place to put your finger. And it's a lot easier than the staple gun where you did this, you know, push down. It's just a real easy way. It's great. Best staple gun I've had. Well, I was putting Christmas lights out on the big tree by the driveway at the parsonage. I've used a traditional staple gun for decades, and my muscle memory had me holding the staple gun this way. And I'm up here trying to, I don't know if you could see this or catch it, but I'm holding the lights like with my fingers like that. And yeah, you already know what's going to happen. I'm not going to do it again. So I popped the staple and, staple's not coming out. Is it empty? I tried another one. What's wrong with this thing? Then I look at my finger, and there's two staples right down in there, and it didn't hurt. I thought, oh, this is cool. So I just pulled them out, and I started stapling the Christmas lights up on the tree again. And then a minute or so later, I noticed my hand looks like it was from a horror movie. I don't watch horror movies, but like it was completely covered in blood, or just about completely covered in blood. It didn't bleed when I pulled them out. I thought, oh, it's fine. It's full of blood. So I go and clean all this blood off, put what's that stuff, that cream you put on there, the antibiotic or whatever. Yeah, I put that on there, wrapped it up and went ahead. I was using that muscle memory. I wasn't paying attention and didn't use the stapler properly. I was very fortunate, by the way, and I give credit to God, that I think it touched the bone. But I don't think it went in the bone because I could still push on it and it hurts from last November. But, you know, I didn't go to the doctor because I'm a moron. But, Jesus. So, somebody's saying amen. You ever watch shows on TV or YouTube channels or some social media, TikTok or something? Or America's Funniest Home Videos. You ever watch that show? Yeah, that's a great show. Fun show. That show's been on for 33 years now. Isn't that wild? But they show people messing up and we laugh at it, right? Now, I don't know why we laugh at people's misfortune, but we do, as long as they're not seriously hurt. And sometimes in these shows or these clips, like Fail Army or something, they're willingly doing something they really shouldn't do. I remember one of them, there were some boys. It's always boys that do these stunts. These girls aren't, you're smarter than this, right? These boys are on top of the roof of the house, and they're jumping from the roof of the house into the backyard swimming pool. And one of them didn't make it. It hit the lounge chair and went around and so forth. So sometimes they're doing that. They're just doing dumb stuff. But sometimes they're just not paying attention. They're just not aware of their surroundings. So I found a video for you. It's less than a minute long, and it's examples of people not paying attention. Let's run that now. I want to know why was the dash cam on in the service bay there. So spiritually speaking, what takes your eyes off of Jesus and on the calling of your life? By the way, I believe with all my, this is one of my core beliefs, that a calling from God is on your life. It's not just for missionaries and pastors. God has called you to something. So what takes your eyes off Jesus? Let me think about that for a while. I believe that Satan's most powerful weapon is not showing up and scaring you like a monster or some crazy thing. But his biggest weapon is distraction. Distraction. Getting you and I to pay attention to anything, he doesn't care what it is, pay attention to anything but Jesus and a relationship with him and to build that relationship. He uses this, he does this in individuals and families and churches and countries. We get our eyes off of Jesus and onto something else. He does not care how he distracts you, only that he distracts you. And earlier, Mel Gerber was up here with Mary Gerber, and they were talking about how sin blinds us, and that is so true, especially when you get into a sin and you just, you know, you don't take care of it. Sin blinds us to the truth of God and gets our eyes off of Jesus. And that's so true. We have to pay attention to what's going on. We need to be mindful of the sinful temptations that come our way and not let them get too far. They creep into our lives. Satan is subtle. I think that's one of his superpowers. He is subtle. He's not scary. He's subtle. He just worms his way in under the wall or something. And then not all distractions are sinful. Satan can distract us with things that are not inherently sinful just by themselves. But if your mind is on something else, particularly if it's on something else for an inordinate amount of time, if it's on that, you're not developing your relationship with Jesus. And you cannot do what he has called you to do. And you're all called to something. We all are. A distraction is a distraction. And I think distraction is Satan's most powerful weapon. I don't want to get into this and sound like some old guy complaining about youth culture or the culture in general here. I don't do that. But and another thing to say is distractions have been around since Adam and Eve, you know, the beginning of time. There's distractions that happen in the Bible. We see that. But I do believe that we live in a time where there are more distractions than ever before. We are bombarded with distractions. And I'm including me in this, okay? Not just you guys, it's me. We waste time that could be spent on kingdom things. I'll tell on myself again so I don't point fingers at you. Last Thursday, I'm pulling the sermon together, getting it all ready. And I'm looking for an illustration video. It was the one I showed you before. I cut it down and made it a little shorter. But if you're ever on those sites like YouTube or any of the others, TikTok or something, you know the good old autoplay feature, right? The autoplay feature. So this will work. But then autoplay came on, and it was a car dash cam, and I had to wait and see what happened. The people, are they going to have a wreck or whatever? And then after that one played, another one played autoplay, and there was this lady, and she was way, way high up on this platform, and it was like maybe an 80 or 100-foot dive. I'm like, oh, is the lady going to make it? I better watch that and see if she falls into the water or dives into the water correctly. And then there was this, the next autoplay was this cat. And maybe you've seen this one, and he's like, there's a table, like a coffee table, and there's a buzzer from a game, and he hits it with his paw, but it scares him, and he runs away, but then he comes back and hits the buzzer again. I'm like, ha, 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 watch that for a while. And then it autoplayed to some prank, some guy playing a prank on another guy. I had to see, well, how that would happen. And then I'm like, oh, what did I just do? All of that was maybe 2-3 minutes. But it was a distraction, and it happened without me realizing what I had done. I was supposed to be working on this sermon. I was by myself in the office Thursday, and I laughed at myself out loud at what had just happened. True story. It was ridiculous. The very thing I'm trying to get across to you, I was doing during the preparation. There are distractions everywhere. Marketing is good enough that we have to have these little rectangles in our pockets or our purses or whatever. And boy, if that thing goes off, we're going to look at it, right? Ding, ding, ding. I like it, but I'm not going to get into the fact that there are many subcategories inside this little rectangle that are distractions. Streaming services. You have streaming services at home? Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu. There's a show you like. Let's just watch one more. One more. We got time for one more, right? And then the news. The news. That's not news anymore, but it's biased entertainment. It's info. It's entertainment. It's not news. That's not really news. It's like unbiased. And that covers both sides of the political spectrum. I don't even know what to believe anymore when I do read news. There's computers, there's sports, there's movies, books, hobbies, entertainment of all kinds that you could imagine. And I could make a much longer list, and you could too, but you get the idea. None of those are sinful activities. I'm not saying you can't do them. They're not sinful. And I purposely picked some things that I was involved in so you didn't think I was just picking on you. So I participated in all these things. But spending inordinate amount of time on these things will get your focus off of Jesus. That's when it becomes an issue. Here's a challenge. I hope you'll take it seriously this morning, even though it might sting. Just think about screens. Could be iPad, could be a computer, laptop, whatever. Could be your phone. A screen. How much time did you give screens this week versus the time you spent in God's Word, in prayer, reading maybe a book that would help you with your walk with Jesus, other activities that puts your focus on Jesus? How much time did you give screens? Let's make an estimate. You don't have to share it. And again, we're not talking about things that are sinful. That's a different problem. We need to pay attention to those things first. Some sin has weaseled its way in your life. You've got to pay attention to that. As was said in the children's story, they'll blind you. So how much time do you spend with God versus these other things? I'm just talking about screens. It's not easy for me to think about either. I am not suggesting that you don't watch the Super Bowl next Sunday, which Kansas City will win. That's prophecy. A spoiler. Gave you a spoiler. I hope I'm not a false prophet. I'm just kidding. I really am not saying it's a prophecy. I probably should cut that right out of the recording. Okay. If I suggested that you don't watch the Super Bowl, if you're into that, you would ignore me anyway. And it would be a hypocritical suggestion because I'm going to watch it with my small group. But we're talking about overall. How much time do you put into your walk with Jesus, your relationship with Jesus? What distractions are keeping you from running the race Paul is talking about here? Are things cutting in on you and you don't even notice when it happens? Your distractions and mine might be different. They might be some of the same. I don't know. But they're distractions. And again, Satan does not care how he distracts you or cuts in on you, only that he does, getting your eyes off Jesus. And when you and I let that happen, we are giving up some of our freedom, not all of our freedom, not talking about losing your salvation or anything like that, but we're giving up some freedom and we're returning to bondage, even in small ways. Remember that Jesus sets you free, if you know him. And if you don't know him, the moment you come to him, he will set you free. So he sets you free, and after that point, and this was a main part of last week's sermon, any bondage you return to is self-imposed. It's your own decisions. Jesus does not call you back into bondage in any form. Jesus called you to be free, not follow a bunch of rules. He wants our eyes on him, not distractions. And look what Paul says in the very next verse, verse 8. That kind of persuasion, people cutting in on you, that kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. In the Galatian churches, they had been persuaded by people that said, oh, you Christians have to follow these rules if you want to be right with God. That the rules that Jesus died on the cross to set you free from. He came and fulfilled the law. And he did that for us too, not just the Galatians. So Jesus doesn't want that for them. The Holy Spirit certainly did not come along and persuade them to do that. So none of this is coming from God. Now, I want to look at that verse in the New Living Translation, just to look at a different angle. It certainly isn't God who cut in on you. Certainly isn't God. For he is the one who called you to freedom. Hey, Galatian brothers, Galatian sisters, who cut in on you? You're doing great. Who distracted you? Got your eyes off Jesus and the freedom he gave you. We talked about this. You were taught about this when I was there, Paul's saying to them. Well, it certainly wasn't God that cut in on you. He is the one who set you free in the first place, and Jesus set us free for the sake of freedom. Now, apply some logic here. This is going to take a little bit. Put your thinking caps on. If you know Jesus as Savior and Lord, you've confessed him as Lord. Hopefully you know that he has set you free from sin and set you free from laws and having to do things to appease God. And if you're not sure about that, you're a Christian, you're not sure about that, go back to Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, and start reading. The title of last week's sermon and this week's sermon is that Christ has set us free. It was taken directly from verse 1 of the chapter which I read earlier. So, if you believe the Bible to be true, it's the Word of God, and I do, I can't know who believes that or not, but if you believe the Bible to be true, that we can trust it when we open it, then the statement, Christ has set us free, which comes directly from God's Word, Galatians 5 verse 1, that is a true statement. It's true. Jesus died on the cross for your freedom. And it makes no sense. Logically, it doesn't make sense that he would now call you back into bondage. And he doesn't. And he never will. Otherwise, why did Jesus die? He died for nothing. But he died for you and me. And anyone else that comes to know him. He set you free. And he wants you to stay free. And I have this sense, I'm not really quoting scripture here, but I just have this sense that none of us, including me, really understand how free we are in Jesus. I don't think we're capable of understanding the true freedom we have in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. And you and I have an enemy in Satan. Don't let anybody come along and say, oh, that's just the personification of evil and Satan doesn't exist. That's another one of Satan's tricks, that I don't exist. But Satan is real. And Satan, if you're a believer, he can't take your salvation away. He can't take you to hell with him. He knows that. He knows the rules. But he will try to blind you through sin or distractions, sometimes both. So how have you been cut in on and your walk with Christ? And are you willing to let the Holy Spirit show you that and convict you? I'm going to give you a challenge in just a moment and give you some time to think about that. But listen closely. Don't take, and it's maybe already in your head, I spend too much time on this. This really keeps me distracted. Whatever it is. Don't take that and say to yourself, I have to stop doing that thing. Unless it's openly sinful. Yeah, you need to get some help with that or figure that out with God. But maybe you only need to limit that thing. You're just spending too much time on it. So don't make a rule for it. Because guess what? When you make a rule for it, a rule over a distraction is still a rule, and rules are bondage. So don't try to fix everything. Hey, look, how about one thing? How about taking a look at one thing this week? I have some questions for you this morning. You're asking these of yourself. It's just between you and God. And we'll bring them on the screens one at a time. The first question you're asking yourself, what is the biggest distraction in my life right now? Only you can answer that. Number two, what is something I can do this week to lessen that distraction? And number three, will I ask for God's help in this? Because you're going to need it. I'm going to give you some time on your own. Pray, talk to God, listen to God, whatever you want to do, and then I'll come back and pray for all of us. Let's do that now. Father, I pray for all my friends and myself. I pray, Lord, that you show us the distractions and show us when we're just wasting time. Father, I thank you that you give us times of relaxation and even entertainment, but help us to keep it in balance, or keeping you at the center of all we do. I pray all of this for everyone here and for myself in Jesus' name.